I was deciding how to close up the series on passages from the Bible that make you go, because there's a whole lot I could preach on, a lot of passages I could choose. I may do this again at some point. But tonight I'm going to take a look at Genesis chapter 19, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is a passage that makes you go, huh, I didn't realize it said that. And, huh, he did what? Chapter 19 of Genesis. The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. He said, "Please, my lords, turn aside to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you can rise early and go on your way." Sounds like he knew they were VIPs, doesn't it? Right off the top. He knew they were somebody special. He knew they were somebody that probably needed some protection. "No," they said, "we will spend the night in the public square." But he urged them strongly. So they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all the people, to the very last person, surrounded the house, and they called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, so that we may know them." Lot went out of the door to the men, shut the door after him, and said, "I beg you, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. Look, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Let me bring them out to you, and do to them as you please. Only do nothing to these men, for they have come under the shelter of my roof." Ooh. Now, when it says the men of Lot, the men of Sodom come to Lot, the phrasing there, and some translations pick up on it and some don't. It's not just the guys of the city, friend. It's not just the guys of Sodom. It's everybody, men and women. All the people is the literal from the Hebrew, a word that means both genders. They came wanting to know. Now, it didn't mean like, "Hello, Jim, I'm Greg. Good to meet you. Glad to know you. Glad to know you. Pleased to meet you. Glad to know you. I'm Greg. Are you Carol?
Yes.
Glad to know you. Pleased to meet you. Dale, Greg Neal. Glad to know you. Pleased to meet you." Nah, that's not the kind of knowing they're talking about, friends. Huh?
You don't know me.
No! Not in the biblical sense, it's not. No. It means they wanted to have sex with them. Now, what does your say, Carol?
It says, "Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally."
That we may know them carnally, okay? To know in ancient Hebrew was an idiom, or could be used as, not always, but could be used as an idiom for sexual relations. Okay? And that's what they're asking for here. Not just to meet and greet, but to know. There's a lot of sex in the Bible, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Nah, don't go there. Let's keep going. So Lot has gone out now. They've asked to see these three guys. These angels. Whom aren't identified as angels here. They're just, you know, men whom Lot saw and recognized. And VIPs of some kind. He invited them into his house. And the people of Sodom came out to greet them, so to speak. Lot knew it wouldn't be a good idea for them to stay in the square. That wasn't appropriate. No one else was going to give them a place to stay. So Lot was being hospitable. and inviting them to stay under the shelter of his roof, for he cooked for them and let them stay. The people of the town found out about these visitors and came and wanted to sexually abuse them. All the people of the city. How many people? I don't know.
Are we talking 50?
We're talking, based on the what we can guess about the region and what the area before the smiting of Sodom and Gomorrah would have been able to produce, it's a good guess that the city had somewhere in the area between 1,000 and 5,000 people.
But we're not talking about any something that these guys would live
in. No, no. We're talking about a gang rape that would kill them.
Kevin, isn't that part of what was the problem with the city, was all that sort of stuff going on?
Well, we're going to find out, aren't we?
Oh, okay.
Okay. And he comes out, and instead he says, no, tell you what, I've got two virgin daughters. Let me give them to you, and you can have them and know them. Don't hurt the men who I have under my roof, under my protection.
That means he was giving his daughters to
death.
And they just died.
Yeah. To gang rape them to death.
That's hard to believe that his own daughters would do that.
What?
Well, I knew they weren't interested in him.
Well, not necessarily.
Bargaining.
Huh?
With
his daughters, his young, virgin, nubile daughters.
He had promised to protect.
Yes.
These strangers.
He had promised to protect these two strangers. He knew they were VIPs, very important people, very special. And his word and his honor, the honor of God, was at stake now in keeping these people safe. What about his daughters? Well, you gotta remember, in that time and place, women, you know, weren't worth... You can always have more kids. I can make two more just like them. I know, but that's the way the culture viewed women. Very negatively. He was willing to give up his daughters instead of these two strangers. Hospitality demanded it. All right. Now, but they replied, "Stand back." And they said, "This fellow came here as an alien, and he would play the judge? Now we will deal worse with you than with them. We were just going to gang rape them to death. We're just going to kill you." They pressed hard against the man Lot and came near the door to break it down. But the man inside reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck with blindness the men who were at the door of the house, both small and great, so that they were unable to find the door. Wow. So, God, these two angels, God's messengers, bring Lot back into the house and strike them blind. The man said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? Sons-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone you have in the city? Bring them out of the place, for we are about to destroy this place, because the outcry against its people has become great before the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it." Now, notice, and this is implicit in the story, particularly from the preceding chapter, they're not going to destroy the city for what they just wanted to do to the angels. God's intention is not to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of what the people of Sodom wanted to do to the two visitors, to the two men, the two angels. God had already intended to destroy the city. God had already said, "I'm going to wipe it out." Told Abram that in the preceding chapter. "I'm going to destroy it." Let's reread that verse. "For we are about to destroy this place because the outcry against its people has become great before the Lord." reference there sounds as though there were many people who were crying out to God about the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, about their evil, about their inhospitality, their unwillingness to receive strangers and people who were strangers in the land who were passing through, hence reflected in Lot sitting at the gate to meet anybody who comes in, because he was a righteous man, supposedly. A city of great wickedness, clearly, whom God was going to destroy and had intended to do that before this occurred. Verse 14, so Lot went out and said to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters, up, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city. But he seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting. Sons-in-law. Sons-in-law are men, right? And sons-in-law are people in the city of Sodom, right? Weren't they outside the door? Perhaps. But the indication doesn't seem to be directed that way. They weren't there. They were going to be married to his daughters, but they didn't believe the warning. They thought he was joking. Verse 15. When morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, get up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or else you will be consumed in the punishment of the city. But he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and left him outside the city. It's like, okay, if you're going to be slow and dawdle, we're going to just grab you and carry you out of the city. The image is they literally take him and drag them fast or beam them or something, transport them outside the city. When they had brought them outside, they said, flee for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the hills, or else you will be consumed. And Lot said to them, oh, no, my lords, your servant has found favor with you, and you have shown me great kindness in saving my life. But I cannot flee to the hills, for fear the disaster will overtake me, and I die. He's whining, isn't he? He's saying, you've saved my life, but I can't possibly flee to the hills. The disaster will hit me, and I'll die. Look, that city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my life will be saved. He didn't want to go to the country hills. He wanted to go to another little town nearby. And he said to him, very well, I grant you this favor too. You will not and will not overthrow the city of which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I can do nothing until you arrive there. Therefore the city was named Zoar, which means little. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came, the Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Whew. Stiff penalty, isn't it? Whammo. Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and saw the smoke of the land going up like the smoke of a furnace. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the plain, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had settled. Story's not over. Now Lot went up out of Zoar. He went to Zoar, but decided he wasn't going to stay there. And settled in the hills, which is what he was told to do to begin with, and settled in the hills with his two daughters, for he was afraid to stay in Zoar. They told him they would spare the town. They told him they wouldn't destroy Zoar, little. They wouldn't destroy this little town, no. But he was still afraid, so he ran away to the hills So he lived in a cave with his two daughters. And the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is not a man on earth to come in to us after the manner of all the world. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him so that we may preserve offspring through our father."
Yuck.
Yes, big yuck. So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in, and she lay with her father. He did not know when she lay down or when she rose. On the next day, the firstborn said to the younger, "Look, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. Then you go in and lie down with him that we may preserve offspring through our father." So they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she rose. Thus both the daughters of Lot became pregnant by their father. The firstborn bore a son and named him Moab. He is the ancestor of the Moabites to this day. The younger also bore a son and named him Ben-Ammi. He is the ancestor of the Ammonites to this day. Hence, that's where the Moabites and the Ammonites, who gave the Israelites tons of trouble later on, come from. Ooh. What do y'all think of that story? It's kind of a kinky story. That's true. It is definitely that.
Can you imagine having fear enough when the world's been destroyed?
Yeah.
Because that's what those girls were doing. They thought they were the last people on earth.
They saw the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, how horrible it was. They saw their mother get changed into a pillar of salt.
But they'd been in Zoar.
You would think, yeah, maybe they thought Zoar was going to bite the dust too.
Well, that may be why they left Zoar, because right. Now he was convinced, well, he did it Sodom and Gomorrah, Zoar must be next on the
hit list. So they ran away to the hills and assumed that they were the last people on the earth. Well, they're trying to preserve the race. Our father is old, and there is not a man on earth to come in to us after the manner of all the world. There's nobody left alive, no men left alive to make us pregnant.
He's the last man on earth.
We lost our husbands in Sodom. So now we've got to reproduce. And he's the last man alive. We think that's gross. I think it's gross. But it's not...
It's
an act of desperation. Yeah, it is that. It's the survival of the drunkest. Survival of the drunkest. Or she who can make her daddy the most drunk.
Why did they have to get
drunk? He wouldn't have done it.
A righteous man.
Who offered them to be raped by the city of Sodom.
Lot was not necessarily a righteous man.
Well, he had characteristics that would cause later authors to identify him, like Peter, identify him as a righteous man. But by our standards, what he offered, what he did in offering his daughters, seems rather icky, doesn't it? He lived in Sodom. He was a city boy. He wanted to stay in the city.
He was in the middle of all of this nastiness.
Yes, he was. But you remember, where did he grow up? In Ur of the Chaldees, middle of Babylon, where they worshipped Tammuz and other gods. So that wasn't uncommon to him at all. Now, we know a little bit about Sodom and Gomorrah from non-biblical sources. One of the sources says that the two cities on the plain are always to be avoided. There's a guide for caravans that would make their trip between Babylon and Egypt. And one of the things, between Ur, which is ancient Babylon, and Egypt, and one of the things in this guide was, when you get to the plain near the southern sea, on the coast of what we would call the Mediterranean Sea, near the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, do not stay overnight in the cities on the plain, for you will surely be attacked and killed. These cities were known as inhospitable places. You didn't go there. It was like Central Park at night in New York City. You just don't go there. And if you go there, you don't stop. You keep going through. No one will give you safe harbor in those cities. Don't go to South Dallas at night. Yeah, similar kind of idea. You stay away from those places which will harm you. That's what this warning said in this guide for caravans that would make the trek between Egypt and Ur of the Chaldees in that day and age. And so, you know, trade. And so they were warned, do not stay there. And that was before this occurred, before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. In the New Testament, when Jesus speaks about, the only time he ever mentions Sodom and Gomorrah is when he's talking about how the disciples would be received or rejected. And he says that for those who reject the gospel, the message, the good news from you, it will be better for the citizens of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for them, those who reject the gospel. Which seems to indicate that the citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah primary problem, and this was important in that day and age because they didn't have Motel 6s and everything else, the primary problem was that they were an evil, unloving, unaccepting people who refused to accept anybody from the outside. And when anybody would come from the outside, they would attack them, steal all their things, and rape them. And one interesting interpretation here, oh, yeah, I'm sure they were just lovely people. Yeah, absolutely. Sounds pretty terrible, doesn't it? An awful people. They had some interesting gods. They followed some of the same gods of the Philistines, later Philistines, and of the later people who lived up in modern-day Lebanon around the area of Tyre and Sidon. And one of the practices of those gods was if you took someone in battle, you would offer them up as a sexual sacrifice on their altar to that god. You would rape them. And that seems to be a practice that was common at these sites too, on the plain. And in fact, based on archaeological evidence that I have read about, Zoar had the same problem.
Isn't that kind of what happens in the satanic cult? Oh,
that's very similar. Sexual sacrifices to Satan, exactly. So I think it's Jude in the New Testament. The book of Jude, I think. Yeah, it is. Jude. There is no chapter. It's just the book of Jude. Beginning at verse 6. Actually, verse 7. Likewise, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which in the same manner as they indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural lust, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. One of the other references, and one of the few references in the Bible, there are a handful of them, here identifies one of their problems. Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which in the same manner as they indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural lust. Now, that's an interesting word. The Greek here is went after other flesh, or literally strange flesh. Went after strange flesh. What might that mean? Walks, crawls, or moves? Perhaps. That would be any flesh, actually. Strange flesh. What might that mean?
People they didn't know.
People they didn't know. Strangers. Okay.
One night stands.
One night stands, maybe. Strange flesh.
Bestiality,
animals.
Homosexuality.
Well, homosexuality literally would be homos sarx. It's the same flesh. That's the one thing that's troubling about that, because it doesn't match our expectation, does it? It's strange flesh, unlike them. Animals were used in these religious practices, so it could be bestiality. Strange, as in strangers, people from the outside, but there's even another one that's even more shocking. Sex with divine beings. Angels! Yes! What were they wanting to do to the visitors? Have sex with them. It may very well be that they knew that these people were emissaries of Yahweh, angels, divine angelic beings. What a better way to gain power and authority and strength than to have sex with an angel. That sounds like something you might hear in some weird mystery religion today, doesn't it?
Well, wasn't that what the fallen angels that came to earth with Satan?
Right. The fallen angels who fell from heaven came down and had sex with the daughters of men. Here it's the other way around. The sons of men wanted to have sex with the angels, with non-fallen angels. That might be part of this concept or idea here in Jude. It seems to be religiously oriented. What Jesus said, hospitality and religious acceptance, accepting of the gospel. Those who reject the gospel, it'll be better for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than it will be for these people who reject the gospel. Here we have this references here. These are tied up in religious concepts. I think the most important thing to recognize is that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah wanted to take and gang rape, and by doing so, kill and steal the possessions of people who visited their city. And in comes these two special people who they find out to be emissaries of another god, of Yahweh, some other strange god who they never heard of before. But these would be emissaries of angelic, divine type people. Wow, we can really get something here. Let's go get them and rape them. That's what they wanted to do. Sounds hard for us to accept, but in that day and age, that was a way of gaining mastery and control and power over them, and hence for yourself.
Well, didn't you say earlier that that was part of a lot of the pagan...
Yeah. Most of these religions we read about in the Bible and find in archaeological digs and evidence about them in their own writings have as part of their worship practices sex. It's one of the reasons why the Jews were continually going aside into the religions of other people. Because sex was a corporate part of those other religions. And that's always more fun. It's gross, but it's always more fun. From the world's point of view. Yeah?
Symbol of conquest.
It's a, yeah.
Not just in religion, but also from king to king.
From king to king. And think about it in this day and age, a rapist. Some of them do what they do, I understand from what I've read and from what I've heard, some of them do what they do because it gives them power and mastery over another.
Now that's what they say, is that rape is not a sexual act, it's a control act.
A controlling act, and in this case a controlling religious act. Interesting. Yeah, it was two guys who were visiting, whom the men and women of this city wanted to rape. But that's the minor tributary of this story, friends. That's minor. When we major on that point of this story, we miss most of it. For the most part, it's about gang raping these two angelic messengers of God for their own evil religious purposes. Forcing them to accept the ways of Sodom and Gomorrah. Forcing them to accept the power of these two cities. Wow. That's different than most of us have thought about this story. Isn't it?
Yeah, I always was under the impression that angels were sexless.
Well, yeah, and yet they mated with the daughters of women in Genesis before the flood. And they seem to engage in and those types of sexual activities when they have fallen. And here are these two angels in the form of men. Apparently, these people thought they could have sex with them.
And Lucifer is referred to as he.
Well, yeah, although I often think that the devil is a woman in a bikini on a beach in the middle of summer, but that's that's my own sinful predilection there.
He's a shapeshifter.
He's a shapeshifter, yes, indeed. This is one of those stories that make you go, huh, I never really thought about it this way. I mean, Jesus' words are clear in his statement that these people in Sodom and Gomorrah are going to get off easier than the people who reject the gospel. Ooh. People in Sodom and Gomorrah were melted, destroyed by God.
Well, and Jude says that too, that what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah is just an example of what's going to happen at the final judgment.
Uh-huh, exactly.
The thing that I don't understand about the whole perception of what happened.
Yes.
Is, to me, I've always thought that angels were protected by God when they were sent on a mission.
Uh-huh.
And they weren't being protected.
Oh, yeah, they were. When the people wanted to see him, then Lot went out to try to protect him, doing his appropriate duty, and they said no, and they were going to kill him and rape these angels. They reached out, grabbed him, pulled him back into the house, and then smote him blind. Smote him blind. Look back into chapter 18. Oh, Genesis 18 at starting in verse 20. Then the Lord said, how great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know. Clearly, there have been petitions going up to God about this city.
From people in Sodom and Gomorrah?
Apparently, who have been in the territory, gone through the territory, and been attacked, but have survived. That would have fit with what we know from secular sources about the warnings given to caravans about stopping in the cities in the plain. You just don't do it. You don't stop in South Dallas. You just don't.
That kind of begs the question of omnipresence and omniscience.
Well, yes and no. God works through humans, always has and always will. And the people are crying out to God for God to do something about these two cities.
Let's go down and see whether they're telling the truth.
Maybe that's the only way that Abram could understand what they were getting ready to go down there and do. So the men turned from there, verse 22. So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. That's interesting. Then Abraham came near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the cities. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Sounds like he's chastising God, doesn't it? Yeah, he is bargaining with God, but at first it sounds like, you're going to kill the city if there are 50 righteous people in it? And kill the righteous with the wicked?
Kind of like Moses up there on Sinai.
It is kind of like Moses up on Mount Sinai. Essentially telling God, if you kill your people, the Egyptians are going to think bad of you. Now notice, the men turned from there, and Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Two men showed up in Sodom. That's kind of interesting.
The men.
So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom. Right now there were three angels that visited Abraham. It says, the men turned from there and went toward Sodom while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Yeah, our Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
My book says one of the three men was now clearly identified as Yahweh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The other two, angels, men, Jesus and the Holy Spirit? Could be. That's how it's been interpreted in many Christian traditions through the years that these three angels are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's keep reading. Verse 26, and the Lord said, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake. Wow. For 50 people. Just 50. God will forgive the whole city. If there were 50 people in that city, the city might not be the way it is. Abraham answered, let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous were lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for a lack of 5? What about 45 people, God? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. Again he spoke to him, suppose 40 are found there. Yeah, it sounds like an auction, doesn't it? It does sound like an auction in reverse. Yeah, 45, 45, 40, 40, give me 40. 40, 40, 40, 35, 30, 30, give me 30, 30, 30, 30, 29, 29, 29, 29. That's what it sounds like. Verse 31, he said, let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there. And he said, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there. And he answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Didn't find 10. Found, well, at most, Abraham, the angels found 4, in theory. Lot, Mrs. Lot, soon to be Mrs. Salt, and Mrs. Morton, Lot Morton, and 2 daughters. But in actuality, there is only 1 who is supposed to be a righteous man, and even that might be debatable, depending on your position and opinions. Interesting story that makes you go,
So did God save Lot because of Lot's righteousness, or did God save Lot because of Abraham's righteousness?
I think Abraham.
Possibly. How about
God's mercy?
God's righteousness. God's mercy. Yeah. I think that's what's in play here. Hence this bidding down routine. Yeah, God would do it for 50. God probably would have done it even just for 1. I think, if there had been 1 righteous man there, maybe. I'm not so sure that Lot can be classified as such. Not entirely. Okay, these are just an interesting story that makes you go, and makes you wonder. And it's not exactly the way we've heard about Sodom and Gomorrah in the past, is it? Let me be dreadfully honest here. There are lots of passages. There are 2 in Leviticus that speak against homosexual practice. And there are 3 in the New Testament. You can't really use this passage for that purpose. You really can't. Otherwise, if you're going to use it for that purpose, then it could be easily turned around and you could use any rape event described in the Bible to speak against heterosexuality. And that's just not the proper use of Scripture. This speaks about a lot of things. Idolatry, unrighteousness in general, sexual immorality in general. It speaks about trying to control and abuse people, sexually and otherwise. It speaks about a very important subject in the Bible, and that's hospitality, and the refusal to receive strangers openly and lovingly and not attack them and try to rob them and rape them. It speaks about a lot of things that are primary topics. It has that undertone of homosexuality that we major in our culture today in terms of taking this passage and using it that way. That is so minor a tributary in the topic that it's almost not on the list.
There's one of many things.
Well, their practice of sexual immorality knew no barring.
Yeah.
It was control.
Or gender choice.
Gender was irrelevant. And that was true in most of these ancient religions, too. It was irrelevant. The gender of the priest or priestess. If you were come to give your offering to Molech, and your offering was an offering for the fertility of your wife, and you as a man came to make your offering, you had sex with the priest to symbolize the receptive fertility and actually to receive it. And it didn't matter the gender. Any port in the storm. Oh, man.
Yes. Verse 29.
Yes.
Chapter 19.
Read it.
So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham and he brought Lot out.
He brought Lot out. He saved Lot for Abraham's request, yes. But why did the Lord remember Abraham?
Because of Abraham's righteousness.
And why was Abraham righteous? How was he righteous? His faith in God. Abraham was made righteous by his faith in God. Hence, God's righteousness, which was given to Abraham for Abraham's faith, was what called forth God's remembering Abraham and bringing Lot out of the city. And bringing someone who probably was rather undeserving out of the city, too. Lot and Mrs. Morton. A story that makes you go, we could pull out of this passage, these two stories related, a whole lot, my friends. No pun intended. Ooh. But I think we've pulled enough for this evening.